Now, it took me 9 years to be diagnosed with endometriosis, says Diana Kelleher, who joins me on line one. Good morning, Diana.
Good morning, Mick. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Now, you are a female health and fitness coach. Why did you imagine endometriosis is not uncommon, but why did it take 9 years for this diagnosis to arrive?
I suppose just the knowledge probably isn't there at the moment. I suppose it is becoming a lot more common at the moment. But for me, it took like the bones of 9 years. I went through, oh my God, multiple hospital visits. At one stage, we thought it was my appendix. I was rushed to A&E with it. Renal scans, external, internal, ultrasound, blood tests. And it was eventually a CT scan back about, I'm going to say, December of 23, where what actually shown on the CT scan was like lesions on my fallopian tube, and then a cyst. And then I was referred to gynecology, but like I was even seeing specialists for like the endocrine systems. Like we had no idea what was going on because everything was showing okay, if that makes sense.
Okay, you would hope in the 9 years of pain that you suffered that it is more readily looked for now or checked for. Endometriosis, by the way, for those who don't know, is a chronic condition. Can be very, very painful. It's where tissue similar to the lining of the uterus grows outside of it. I know that's a very general sort of thing. It's misplaced tissue, really, responding to hormonal changes.
Yeah, and I suppose as well, a lot of people, well, I suppose women, aren't aware that it doesn't just affect your uterus. It can actually affect all your other organs as well. Now, I suppose with my case, mine was actually mild, which I couldn't believe because of the pain I was suffering for so long. And when I eventually had my laparoscopy, and I suppose my consultant went in and had a look, and she found it. When she told me after surgery that it was mild, I couldn't believe it because of the pain I
pain you went
for
through.
So
yeah.
Long. Yeah.
So it causes inflammation. It can cause scarring, painful scarring, debilitating pelvic pain. It affects probably millions of reproductive age women all over the world, and can be very, very severe. The severity, though, would, I imagine, be individual and vary widely.
Yeah, it would obviously depend on the individual. I think the biggest thing is a lot of GPs just play it down as bad periods because there's just not enough, I suppose, knowledge or expertise on it. So, like, I've even spoken to women who have told me for years that the GP is like, oh, that's normal, like, you know, just having heavy bleeds and cramping and all that. That's just part of being a woman and part of having your periods. But it's not at all.
What did you do to change things? I know you took some action after ending up in A&E.
So my journey was just so long because we didn't know what was going on. But eventually when I got the results back from the CT scan that showed, like, obviously it's not like it's not my endocrine system, nothing going on there, and I was referred to gynecology, I met with a specialist. Her name's Aoife McSweeney. She's based out of the Mater Private in Cork. And I met her in March, and by September I had my surgery. Like, she, from just meeting me and my story and my history, she knew straight away. She was able to say,
you need a laparoscopy, is it?
Yeah, so the laparoscopy is where they go in with a camera to see what's going on. But like, I asked her before even the surgery, I was like, how do you know I have it? She's like, I know from your history. I know by talking to you. I know about your symptoms. That was in March, and then we went in for my lap in September, and then we had the excision to remove the endometriosis.
Mm. And I think if diagnosis takes a number of painful years, the excuse is often that symptoms, and this is real, of course, they can, the excuse used, though, is that symptoms overlap with other conditions, so thereby making them hard to identify.
Yeah, and I suppose that was probably the main thing for me was, I never would have thought it was endometriosis. I never even would have linked it to that. And then it was when we got the results of the CT scan, and then there was lesions on my fallopian tubes and there was cysts on my ovaries. That's when I was like, okay, well, like, I always thought it was maybe something to do like with the endocrine system or something like that, because that's where, I suppose, the GP was steering me and all the tests I had done. That's the direction we were going in.
Okay. How did it end up? You were diagnosed, albeit 9 years in the making for that diagnosis. How did it end up? How has it affected you then and since?
My journey just wasn't plain sailing, but whose journey is plain sailing or story? I always would have suffered from like heavy periods and like really, really bad cramping. After I had my daughter then, because my periods were so bad, I actually went and I got the coil fitted. That's what my GP suggested. And I had the coil for 4 years and like I had no symptoms of like nothing at all, bad cramping. My periods were pretty much non-existent. And then it was when I took the coil out that everything resurfaced. And that's when we were kind of like, okay, there's definitely something else going on here. It's not just a case of like going to see an endocrine specialist. It must be linked to possibly her periods. And that's when it all kind of came to light after I had the coil removed a couple of years ago.
And in my reading up on it, it appears that, you know, symptoms and severity vary widely. Some women have no symptoms at all while the condition exists, but some can have up to and including up to severe pelvic pain, very painful intercourse, very heavy bleeding outside of your menstrual cycle, and chronic fatigue, bloating, nausea or constipation. If you've one or any of those, perhaps you should get checked for endometriosis.
Definitely. It was definitely the pelvic pain for me, and more so when I suppose I did come off the contraception and get the coil removed, because the coil will suppress everything, and I felt great for like 4 years, but then when I had it removed, everything resurfaced. And then the heavy bleeding was back, the really, really bad cramps, the pelvic pain that I couldn't even explain how bad it was. And then I suppose when the CT scan showed something to do with my tubes and the cyst, we kind of went from there then.
Sorry? No, I've lost you there for a second.
That's okay.
Oh, sorry, okay.
What part did you lose me on?
That's my fault. I was letting you talk. I thought you were mid-sentence. I would, of course, refer people to the Endometriosis Association of Ireland. They'll give you education and a community support network. You're doing female fitness and coaching and that kind of thing.
Yeah, so I'm an online health, female health and fitness coach. I have been working with women, and I suppose recently I had a post up on social media just, I suppose, spreading awareness on endometriosis. And there's just been so many women in my messages and in my DMs. Like I spoke to one woman who was 25 years still waiting for her diagnosis. And like it's actually just so common in women, but I just feel we're not being heard enough and there's not enough awareness out there. And I suppose the biggest thing for me is, as an advocate for like female health and fitness, it's just keep pushing and go with your gut until you are heard and until you are answered. My diagnosis obviously took me 9 years, but there's women out there who are waiting like 25 years.
25 years. I want to bring in somebody here. Please stay with us, Diana Kelleher. I want to bring in Kate Conway here, who's a nutritional therapist. Morning, Kate.
Hi, Mick, how are you?
I'm good. Now, your work focuses particularly on women's health, particularly conditions such as PCOS, endometriosis, fertility support, etc. How much is nutrition and correct nutrition a factor here?
A nutritional lifestyle can definitely be a major help when it comes to symptoms. You know, obviously, medical intervention is very, very important. But certainly, pairing that with certain types of foods can definitely have such a positive impact on these women's lives.
Mm. Why does it take up to 10 years? And in one particular case, as Diana mentioned, 25 years to get a diagnosis of endometriosis.
So, again, as Diana mentioned, you know, it is basically the pain and all of the symptoms that come along with these types of issues are just being normalized. So, unfortunately, when women are going to their GPs complaining of painful periods, heavy periods, it's just been normalised and they're being told to take Nurofen or, you know.
Yeah,
and
take a painkiller, that's normal, it's just part of the cycle or whatever.
Yeah, unfortunately, and I suppose it's just not enough education as well. Thankfully, that is improving. I suppose younger generations then going in with like irregular periods, heavy periods, pain, they're being sent home on the pill. Of course, this can be a temporary relief when it comes to pain and symptoms. But then when somebody decides to come off the pill, then those issues are just returning.
So with symptoms differing as much as advice seems to be differing, you recently spoke to a woman who got particularly stark advice at one of her appointments.
Yes, unfortunately. So she was told to just to have a baby. And
let's go and have a baby there. Going, be grand.
Yeah, that was. Or the other thing that they're being told is come back when you are trying to conceive. So this is the other, I suppose, common advice that's being given to women as well. You know, it's far too normalised. And I think women's issues, and particularly hormone imbalances, are just so normalised. It's not taken serious enough. And I just, thankfully, awareness is improving. And so is knowledge, and women's knowledge themselves. They're doing their own research. So they are becoming more aware of what to look for, and they're finding their voice. They're feeling more confident going into their doctors and speaking up for themselves, you know, which is just massive.
Okay. And in the fullness of the life cycle, does hormone replacement therapy, HRT, for instance, does that help at any stage if you're still in pain, if you're still waiting for a diagnosis and you're entering perimenopause or menopausal time? Does HRT do anything for you?
Look, HRT can help in some cases. Again, it's very much individualized. Mm-hmm. So like estrogen can stimulate endometriosis tissue. So taking estrogen only, HRT carries a risk of reactivating symptoms. Yeah, look, it is a very much an individualized approach when it comes to any type of hormonal intervention.
Okay, so a mixture of timely medical intervention and advice and a mixture of nutrition. What are the good things to introduce into a diet plan?
Well, there's many things that can be introduced when it comes to both, not just the diet, but lifestyle as well. So when it comes to diet, because it is an inflammatory disease, introducing, now, of course, like these women are going through quite, you know, extremely chronic, stressful lives. So we don't want to be looking at restriction here. So what can help is following an anti-inflammatory diet. So a really, really lovely one to use as a template can be the Mediterranean style of eating. So this includes plenty of variety, colour, you're getting beautiful antioxidants in there, you're getting all of your macronutrients, so you're getting your proteins, carbohydrates, you're getting a wonderful array of your healthy fats, you're getting all of your seeds. So it's all about, you know, inclusion rather than restriction. So
if somebody wants to get the info, Kate, where you're a nutritional therapist, where can they get you on socials or online?
So I'm on Instagram. I'm Kate Conway Nutrition and Pilates, because I'm a Pilates teacher as well. And then I also have my website as well. So Kate Conway Nutrition and Pilates. But I suppose the easiest way to find me would be Instagram.
Okay.
Yeah. So again, you know, coming back to that anti-inflammatory diet, there are supplements that can help as well. So there's a lot of research that has gone into the inclusion of omega-3s, of course, that's working on anti-inflammatory. Vitamin D, so when it comes to endometriosis particularly, there has been shown that there's lower levels of vitamin D there. So the inclusion of supplementation there. And then, of course, there are other supplements that can help depending on the individual, the location of the lesions, the severity of the symptoms, and
okay.
So on. So,
Kate Conway, nutritional therapist, thank you very much for that very helpful addition to the conversation. I want to go back. Thank you, Kate. I want to go back to finish up with Diana Kelleher, female health and fitness coach, because you're in the coaching area. Nutrition probably overlaps with you as well, Diana. What advice would you give to anyone who's struggling to get a diagnosis, or who may feel they have endometriosis?
I suppose just go what you're getting, really, really, like, voice what you're feeling and your symptoms and keep pushing. Like I said previously, it took me 9 years to get the diagnosis. And I feel I was kind of steered down the wrong road at the start, but the knowledge just wasn't there. They didn't know why I was having such pain, and then blood tests were clear and renal scans and whatnot were all clear as well. But yeah, it's just to be heard and to speak up and to continue pushing until you do get, you know, some sort of answer. I feel like as human beings, you know your body best. So if something isn't right, to just make sure you keep going until you get that answer.
Okay, Diane, and where can people find or connect with you for more information?
So I'm on Instagram, so it's just Diana_Kelleher on Instagram, or my website is dianakelleher.com.
Okay, dianakelleher.com, Diana_Kelleher on Instagram. Thanks to Kate Conway as well, and thank you, Diana Kelleher, for joining us on the programme this morning.
Thanks, Mel Mick.